5:03 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes is back and with us. Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker, great to have you with us. And we have Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. You can send in your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, though, it's the summer. It's hot. And all people want to do is enjoy a nice swim in the pool. Well, unfortunately, someone in Michigan is ruining that for people. According to a notice posted by a neighborhood association in Macomb County, Michigan, an unidentified individual is secretly pooping in the public pool, prompting closures and a search for the person responsible. Things have gotten so bad that the Buckingham Recreational Facilities Association is going to cancel its annual carnival to pay for another pool staffer to hopefully stop the serial pooper. The association says it's currently reviewing attendance logs and video surveillance in hopes of a lead.
It's just candy bars?
I don't think it's just Ruth. Candy bar. Yeah. I mean, we got to do some detective work. Do we know what time this is happening?
Right there.
Must be in the morning, right?
What is wrong with people? This is a real story. This is real news. A serial pooper.
Has anybody picked him up and taken a bite to make sure?
I don't know. I didn't read that far into the story.
No big deal.
Wasn't there one recently? It was a jogger that would just kept dumping on somebody's lawn?
Somebody's lawn, yeah.
Gosh, when it hits, it hits.
Mm-hmm. Ratings are out for NBA K20 or 2K20, and LeBron James has the number one rating, followed by Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Take it or leave it. Kevin Durant playing in NBA 2K20 makes it worth it for the Nets.
I'm going to leave it. It's great. And
you
all
win
that
the championship
is,
there.
It's great that his ratings are up, but I thought these games were legit nowadays. We couldn't.
It's not.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Don't they keep up with the rosters and all that good stuff?
You'd think they would.
Yeah, he's got a great skill set, minus the Achilles.
No Anthony Davis, no Steph Curry, by the way.
They probably sit in a room and go, yeah, it's Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he's got to be fine.
Yeah, you got to give him a high grade.
Yeah. Well, that's true. They don't take a lot of things in account. All right, interesting story here. A Tennessee Police Department, they're cautioning locals not to flush drugs and prescription pills down the toilet or drains out of concern of a practice that could lead to, wait for it, meth gators. They are worried. The warning comes after police found a man unsuccessfully attempting to flush meth and other paraphernalia down the toilet. One police spokesperson said ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what one of them would do, all hyped up on meth. Now, they say this tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure. Take it or leave it, though, you would watch a movie called Meth Gators.
Take it.
Me too.
Oh, no doubt.
Meth gator. Bit my hand off.
Although it's probably not going to be very frightening because the meth gator will just lose his teeth.
No, well, that's a good point. But maybe right in the beginning, like first time that the meth gator, that's when you know that they're getting old and they've been doing it for a while. But the first one's going to have crazy like strength or something. I don't know. I guess he's not a PCP gator. But
no, yeah, it's a meth gator.
But it's anything that could be down there.
And he's going to come around asking for a fix? Like, what? I don't know. I don't even know if the meth gator is going to be all that scary.
I don't know. You can't reason with a meth gator.
I'd watch the movie, though.
I would watch the movie, too.
You guys like carnival rides?
I love carnival rides.
Yes.
Got to be careful.
Okay.
Especially if you're attending a carnival in India, because a ride there over the weekend came crashing down. Two people died, 29 others injured when a ride called Discovery, which has 32 seats. The pipe of the main shaft broke, crashed to the ground. How it broke is a matter of investigation by Forensic Science Laboratory. Take it or leave it, carnies in all countries are aliens.
Oh, I'll take that part.
Yeah, I'll have to take that.
It has nothing to do with the devastation. Thoughts and prayers on that.
Right.
I do sometimes at carnivals, like I'm looking at some of the equipment. And I'm like, you really check it? For real?
They just fold it up and go to the next
town. Yeah, and they just go to the next one. And who cares? I'll just leave the lawsuit back here.
Right.
In this small town.
But what a clever way. If the aliens are trying to wipe us all out so they can, take our resources on planet Earth. Kill us with carnivals.
I guess so. I have an interesting smell.
That's why the rides break. You can't even fix them.
Imagine that.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Well, nobody likes poo in the pool, but when you see the poop in the pool. Do you take it or leave it?
I totally leave it.
Take the poo or leave the poo? I'm going to leave the poo. I can get my own Baby Ruthie just in the odd event that that's what it is.
Oh, there's a texter here real quick that says, 2 died, 29 injured, 32 seats. The one person who was unharmed is the alien. Take it or leave it. It was actually Bruce Willis.
Oh, good. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it. That was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Yeah.
When people finally storm Area 51, take it or leave it, the animals of the desert kill them before anyone at Area 51.
Leave it.
I'll leave that. Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
There aren't enough rattlesnakes to get 400,000 people.
Yeah, and they might have, I don't know, maybe get run into some like coyotes out there and stuff, but nothing too bad.
If nobody ever dies at Burning Man because of the snakes.
I do think people die at Burning Man sometimes.
I don't think it's from the snakes.
It's generally an overdose.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it, if the Cardinals got Max Scherzer, Mike Trout, and Nolan Arenado for free, the Dodgers still win in 6.
I'm going to leave it.
I'm going to leave that one, too.
Yeah, I'll leave it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to leave
Scherzer
that.
Scherzer probably wins a couple for you, right?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. You beat them, hands down, actually.
Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it, if aliens are found living among us, we'll have to stop making jokes about Uranus.
Leave it.
What about?
Is it still a planet?
Yeah, Pluto's not anymore.
Pluto's the one that. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't, and then they reinstated it.
Pluto's back?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a microplanet. A mini planet? A small planet? Uranus is still fine,
midget
though.
Midget planet.
No, Uranus is perfect.
Thank you.
Take it or leave it, the Cardinals will be in first place at some point again this season.
Leave it.
Take it. I'm taking it for sure.
How about first place in the wild card? I'll take that.
Oh, it turns out that Pluto is, in fact, a midget planet. No, okay. I read that wrong. That's my fault. Dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And take it or leave it. Aliens took the talent of the Cardinals, and we've been living in our own version of Space Jam.
I'll take it.
Do they give it back? Because they gave it back.
Yeah, you get it.
At the end of Space Jam, even though, I mean, it took some work to get it from the Monstars.
Yeah, we'll get it back.
I'll take it then.
How do we get it back?
Be nice.
That's it?
Yeah. Isn't that the way to go?
I don't remember.
I don't either, but I think being nice is part of it.
I've only seen Space Jam once. I don't remember it. I'm sorry. So fill in the blanks for me.
Get up, it's time to jam now. So, the aliens took the talents of these all these players, and they had to play them in a basketball game at the end of it to get their talents back.
Oh.
And if, in fact, what was the team? The All-Stars? What was the All-Star team called?
The Monstars.
The other team. What was it? Michael
the
Jordan's
Toon
team.
Squad.
Toon Squad. If the Toon Squad lost, Michael Jordan would have to stay there, and he would be an attraction at the at their carnival
that's
or whatever.
Those are some high stakes.
Yeah, no, big time. And luckily for Michael's secret stuff, which was really just water, but he got everybody to think that it was some sort of a special drink that made them into better players. They played up to their abilities, and at the end they realized they didn't need any special stuff. They were good enough.
So this was all just about mind games.
Yeah.
Okay.
And placebos. Yep. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Next up, the old saying is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. Well, that logic does not apply with goalies. TSN analyst and former NHL goalie Marty Baron joins us to tell us why next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN in St. Louis with Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and we welcome our friend Marty Baron to the program. He is joining us on the Braun and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Marty, good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Celebrating the Cup.
Still celebrating, and amazingly, our station, 101 ESPN, is going to take over the Blues radio rights this coming season, so the timing couldn't have been better for us.
That is fantastic news. Yeah, I'm sure the fans in St. Louis, the players, the organization, they are going to be partying probably until the season starts next year.
Marty, I got to be honest with you. It's been kind of nice to not have to, like, really break down the draft and talk about incoming free agents, just more so celebrating. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's been a refreshing one.
It's probably a good thing. Everybody wants to be in that position, right? So when you don't have to, like, pretend that you care about a 31st overall draft pick, which you guys didn't even have. The Buffalo Sabres ended up with that pick. It's nice to talk about a first overall because it gives you, you know, hope like Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid and last year for the Sabres, Rasmus Dahlin. But when you're winning the cup, you can avoid talking about the draft and free agents, and it's all good.
Well, one of the biggest order of business for the Blues this offseason was, what are they going to do with Jordan Binnington? And he had no comps. I mean, it's, you know what he did his rookie season. He was ridiculous. They came to terms. They got a two-year deal done, $4.4 million per. Look, it seems like a great deal on the surface. You've got him. You've got Jake Allen. What did you think about what Jordan Binnington was able to get?
I thought that was very appropriate for both Binnington and the Blues. Listen, if Jordan Binnington is the real deal and he puts up, unbelievable numbers over the next couple of years and have a ton of success, he'll be, you know, a $6, $7, $8 million goalie, but he's not that right now. You look at what Matt Murray did with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was, roughly in the same ballpark. I think it was a little bit less, but Murray is also a little younger. So Pittsburgh had more of the leverage when it comes to his rights. I think with Jordan Binnington being a little older, a little bit more mature, I think that was very appropriate. And, you know, now it comes to figure out how they're going to work the Binnington-Jake Allen situation. It's going to be interesting to see what Craig Berube, his staff, and the organization, how they deal with it. It's always good to have two good goalies. It's good to have a support system, but you don't want internal fighting either. And we see this in, you know, in football with quarterbacks. If you have a quarterback controversy, it's not good. You don't want to have a goalie controversy either. So it's touchy when you're dealing with all of this.
We've heard stories that about the regular season and once Binnington took over, about Jake Allen and how helpful he was with the young goaltender throughout the regular season into the playoffs as well. Does that carry over into a second year of this? I mean, after losing your job, I could see wanting to help any way you can, but maybe if it becomes a situation where Binnington is getting almost all the starts and you're not starting, maybe that might start to wear on you. How do you think Allen will handle it in year two?
No, I think it's perfectly put. When it's short term, when, you know, it's for the end of the season or even a year and a half, it's fine. When it could be a 2-3-4 year situation, it's not good. I was in that situation with the Buffalo Sabres coming out of the 2004-2005 lockout. So Ryan Miller ended up, you know, taking the number one job away from me. So for a year and a half, it was good. But I knew I was going to be moving on, and I got traded to the Philadelphia Flyers and became a number one goaltender in Philadelphia. So for the short term, you can do it. I've read all the stories and I've listened to Jake Allen and everybody with the Blues talk about how big of a part that Jake Allen played, even if he didn't have much, you know, many minutes played on the ice. He actually did a great job in practice and the preparation, and he was a good support system, but that can only take you so far. You want to be a number one goalie, and I think Jake Allen still wants to be a number one goalie. So, I mean, the situation is going to be that at some point the Blues are going to have to make a decision. And if they can get Jake Allen to play maybe even 30, 35 games this year where Binnington would play 50, maybe those 30, 35 games would be enough of a sample size for somebody to look at Allen in a transaction at some point, maybe at the deadline. But, the same way that the Pittsburgh Penguins did with Marc-Andre Fleury. So I think it's going to be tricky. But the good thing for Binnington is he has that support system. I compare Binnington a little bit to Cam Ward when Cam Ward won the Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes in 2006. They never really surrounded him with anybody, any veteran after that. It was John Graham and Manny Lagesse. And Cam Ward's backup never played for better than a .500 record. So that's putting a lot of pressure on a very inexperienced guy. And I think right now they want to give that support to Jordan Binnington. So that's why I think they're going to keep Jake Allen for at least the better part of this season.
Former NHL goalie Marty Baron with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Marty, you hit on the number that I'm thinking of for Binnington, and that's 50. When you look at the top goalies in the league now, we don't have 65-game goalies. We don't have Grant Fuhr playing 78 for the Blues. It's the top goalies are playing between 45, 46, and 50 games. So I would expect that there will be plenty of opportunities for Jake Allen to get between the pipes.
Yeah, and if you manage, you talk about load management in the NBA and all of that, you have to have a schedule. Obviously, performances are going to dictate. If Jake Allen plays well, he's going to get more starts. It's going to really make the job a lot easier for Jordan Binnington. You have to understand injury as well. So some goalies like, Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist in the National Hockey League have been known to play more games, but their bodies are now breaking down a little bit easier. So you want to be able to manage, the workload. And I like to think that 55 to 60 is the key number for me. If you're a veteran goaltender and have been a number one goalie for 4 or 5 years and you can play 60 games and your backup can play 20, there's 80 games right there, give or take one or two. I think that's the perfect number. But more and more teams go to the 50-30 split. So, and it seems to be proven to be the right situation. So we may see that, and I think that may be the perfect fit for Jake Allen and Jordan Binnington. But again, you have to look at the schedule. How's the travel? How many back-to-backs do you have? And you have to carve out games. Even if the team is struggling, you have to give your backup goaltender more games, especially if the team is struggling, so that everybody gets a chance to play.
Marty, it's hard to believe we can expect much more out of Jordan Binnington. I mean, he was fantastic when he took over. We saw him in the biggest games, and he rise to all the big moments. But I am interested from you. Like, when you came into the league, or honestly, this could have been any time. When did you grow the most as a goalie? Was it an age where you felt like you grew? Was it experience in the NHL? Like, when did you feel like you took the next step?
I would say probably when I was 26, 27, those couple of years right before I turned 30 is really where I felt that I had grown. I had learned the most about my ability, my preparation. Before that, between 20 and 25, you're just playing games. It's like you're playing college hockey. You're just getting up and going, and you're still trying to develop your routine and develop your physical preparation, your mental preparation. And it takes some time to come to be a full, mental, technical, physical preparation that gets you going. A lot of goalies and a lot of players may say, oh, that's superstitious and, you guys do crazy things. I think it's more about preparation. There's a great video online about Braden Holtby a couple years back, and it shows his preparation and all the details in his, he likes to be calm before a game, so he goes to a room and kind of just breathes and relaxes, and then he does visualization, and then he does some juggling, and that's just a small part of your preparation. But when you're 23, 24, you don't really know, and then when you're 30, you think you've known it all. So somewhere in between there is really when you take your biggest steps forward to your growth. I think Binnington is just starting to grow into what he could be. Now, the numbers may not be much better, but the quality saves may be there at the right time. The consistency may be even better. I think that's where he needs to get to be like a really a top goalie in the National Hockey League.
It's hard to criticize somebody who did win a Stanley Cup. And I know that's not what you're doing, but what I am wondering is, for somebody who played as well as they did in the regular season, and then, us watching on the outside, we're wondering how he's going to perform in the playoffs, because you're always wondering when this party is going to end. He's been so good, it can't keep going, can it? But he was really good in the playoffs. He had a few games where he did not look quite right, but he always responded with good efforts, and then in game 7 of the final, maybe played his best game, the game of his life. So how was he able to do that? How was he able to go from where he was in, you know, the very beginning of the season, which he was good, but to keep it and carry it all the way through.
Yeah, you can see his maturity level and his composure. He's got a little cockiness to him and some of the comments that he's made, but I think he's very self-aware of who he is and what makes him successful, so that is a good thing. But you have to also think, he came in late December, early January. There's not a lot of video, a lot of film on him. I think teams in the playoffs probably got to know more about Jordan Binnington and maybe his tendencies, but it's like a pitcher in baseball or a batter. You know, the more they play, the more years they're in the league, the more you start to build a book on a certain player. And I think teams now are going to, you know, spend the summer in the Western Conference in the Central Division say, okay, what is Jordan Binnington all about? Let's pick apart his game and let's see if we can find some tendencies that we can, you know, really utilize in games for us to be successful. And maybe you didn't have that time in the second half of the season. These guys played 50 games in 30 days in the month of March and, you know, 14 and 28 days in February. So maybe you don't have the time to really focus on one individual. But now in the summertime, they can really pick it apart, and he's going to have to be even better to be able to be ready for that.
Hey, Marty, Craig Berube was able to get Braden Schenn to buy into the idea of being a winger, or Alexander Steen to go to the fourth line. It seems to me, though, in knowing goalies over the years, goalies are a little bit different personality. And when Berube deals with this, as you say, what could be a potential problem, the personality of the goalie is not the typical hockey personality, is it?
No, it's not. And a lot of it is because we don't have line mates. We don't have defense partners. We really don't have anybody that we can rely on. You know, we're by ourselves in our net. Even the partnership with your goalie partner, either your starter or your backup, is not the same as anybody else. Like if I'm on a line, I'm in a centerman, and I'm giving my right winger a great pass and he scores, we're both celebrating. We're both really happy. The goalies don't work in the same way. So there's competition, internal competition, definitely. You think differently. So for Craig Berube, he's going to have to rely on his, you know, assistant coach, his goalie coach, to be able to make this situation a good situation for both Binnington and Allen. When I was with the New York Rangers, John Tortorella was our head coach. Tort never talked to myself or Henrik Lundqvist, you know, other than, hey, what's happening? Good game last night and all that. But when it came to decision, when it came to practice, when it came to preparation, it was all our goalie coach, Benny Allaire, that was always talking to us, always making sure we were ready. So, you know, it's not so much the head coach. The head coach has so much to do. The assistant coach has so much to do. When you talk about the goalie, it comes down to the goalie coach, and he's the one that usually handles that situation.
Marty Baron, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Absolutely. You guys can celebrate until about middle to late September, and then you have to stop because there's a season again.
Okay, we'll be ready for it.
Sounds good.
Marty Baron, friend of the show on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we want your questions, whatever they may be about. Get them into the Hot Shots text line 65780 because the Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN. And we do appreciate your texts to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
From the Hot Shot text line, with Carpenter's production in limbo, would you trade for Whit?
They're not going to trade Whit Merrifield.
They said start, it'll take three major league ready players.
Yeah, he signed a four-year, $16 million deal. Like, you're talking about a sweetheart deal, that would be the one. That's totally up the Royals' alley. You got to have a player that at least somebody wants to come see. So if Whit were available, I'd be interested in Whit, but I don't think he is.
But he won't be.
No,
so.
He won't.
I mean, not realistically. I guess he'll be available in the sense that any player is available for the right price.
Would you give up Flaherty,
no.
O'Neill? Because that's what you're starting at with right there.
Yeah, no.
So a few months ago, we had Scott Barry on the show who put
Barry.
Down a $400 bet and won a lot of money. What, $100,000 out of it? What amount right now where the Cardinals stand would you be comfortable with throwing down on a bet, knowing how big that payoff was?
500. I don't know what they're... You'd put down 500 right now if you were in Vegas? Damn, you got to
look what
Vegas.
He did with 400.
Yeah, but...
I'll do 100 bucks.
I'm trying to look at the future odds right now to win the World Series. The Cardinals are currently, and this is at VegasInsider.com.
Okay.
The Cardinals are only at 40-1 right now.
That's not great.
So it's not. He got them at 250-1, I believe it was. So 40-1. So, yeah, your 500 bucks, Randy. Well, I'll do some math for me. Is that $2,000? Yeah. So, I feel good about like $100.
Or no, 2,000 would be 40-1, wouldn't it? Yeah, 20,000.
God dang it. Good thing we all have calculators in our phones, huh?
We shouldn't try to do math out loud because every time we do it, we get...
I fixed it.
We get
20,000, guys. That's
what I was thinking
point.
Because I said 100, right?
Yeah, that'd be $4,000.
Damn it. We shouldn't do this.
We should do a remedial math competition.
That'd be fun.
On this show. Like, we should really do that.
The texters will treat us like Scotty.
Yes.
What is wrong with you idiots?
Like, I've actually been taking your guys' opinion seriously for the last however many years.
Dude.
You can't do, like, remedial math.
When Randy and I were trying to figure out the difference between 91 and 44, it was embarrassing. It was like the lady. Remember the lady from a couple of years ago in the tournament? And she was one of the K-State players' moms. And the camera caught her for a couple of seconds trying to count the difference from 54 to 51.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
Like, 52, 53, 54. It was perfect, right? That was us for 2 minutes. It was so stupid.
So this texter points out a David Schoenfeld piece at ESPN.com, and Schoenfeld lists Colton Wong as the player the Cardinals should look to trade away. Does he have the most trade value of all the Cardinals at this point that you would be willing to trade away?
Obviously, I don't think he has the most trade value as of this point. The reason in Schoenfeld's piece, he references the fact that the Cardinals are struggling for offense and they could plug in Jairo Munoz, who potentially give them more of an offensive upside. I honestly don't think that the production value from Munoz's bat, while it would be better, is going to, when we're just talking about sheer run differential, I think that Colton saves you as many runs as Munoz is going to be able to drive in for you. And he's been swinging it better. I don't think that he's your most valuable trade asset.
All due respect to Mr. Schoenfeld.
Said with all due respect.
But what contender does Colton Wong upgrade at the trade deadline?
It's a great question.
That's the problem. How many teams are upgrading at second base at the deadline?
Yep. How many good teams?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because those are the only people that are going to buy. So, with all due respect. I guess he does have is his war good or something? I don't know.
But the
Schoenfeld's award.
Schoenfeld's, is his war good?
I don't know.
That should be another thing, is war for writers and reporters. Like, what's their war?
I mean, how do you even measure it?
Don't know yet. I don't even know how we measure real war.
There's an algorithm. But there's honestly, the most valuable pieces they have are still their young pitching. And they're using it and relying on it, so there's nothing there for them to do.
Colton Wong's war is 1.9. That would be
That's
one,
good.
Two, three, four, five, sixth as far as second
baseman
go. Yeah. That's a good whore.
So we've been talking about this Area 51 alien kind of thing all day. If a friendly alien lands his or her spaceship in your front yard and invites you in, do you go?
Absolutely. 100% yes.
Every time. Yeah, I wonder how they do it. Is it like, come on, you know you want to? It's a spaceship.
Yeah,
or
bet
they
you
just
will.
Like,
we got candy.
They have candy? I'm totally getting in that spaceship. But yes is the answer. You have to. Even if you think that there's a great possibility they might kill you. Say, I'm still going to find out.
Yep,
I'm
going to find out.
The way I see it, if they're going to kill you, they're just going to take you. Right? They're not going to go through the process of inviting you.
They might be twisted. We don't know.
Well, I think they're just doing experiments.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're into the probes.
When we do experiments on animals, we're not messing with them. Just, they're scientists are just taking them and doing stuff.
All right, that could be.
Yeah. But if I get an invitation, I'm going.
All aboard.
I'll bring a six-pack.
By the way, Wonger's defensive war is tied for 24th in big league baseball at 0.9 Nick Ahmed. Is it 3.1?
Yeah, he's good.
If Paul Goldschmidt starts to heat up and the Cardinals are in first place by the deadline, do you
MVP.
See them? Do you see them going after somebody like Noah Syndergaard?
I don't think they make a huge move one way or the other. I think they'll make a trade, but I don't think it's going to be anything like earth-shattering where people are going to be like, oh, my God, look what the Cardinals did. I don't think you see something like that.
I wonder what Brody Van Wagenen would want for Syndergaard, and he would be more enticing to me if he were packaged with Diaz at the back end of the bullpen. But, no, I don't see the Cardinals going after Noah Syndergaard in and of himself. He's kind of a he's that guy that has the great stuff that you want to turn into a pitcher. But he's not a pitcher yet. Do you want to do that for the second half of the season to try to win? It's kind of like going after Jeff Samardzija.
I would 100 times over take Syndergaard over Jeff Samardzija.
Oh, I would
totally
too,
agree.
But people tried for years to try to turn Jeff Samardzija into a pitcher from just being a thrower.
He was awesome for about half. No, actually, that full season in 2014 when he ended up with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. He was really good.
A little hypothetical here for you guys. What do you do? Say, for example, every day you see somebody walking out of the office, you tell them good night or goodbye, and all they say back is okay.
What do you do?
How do you go about that? Do you continue to tell them good night? Should you care?
Yeah, you just keep doing it.
Yeah,
it's amusing. You just keep doing it until, yes, it ends up being an inside joke or they actually respond in kind. You just keep going for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Always. Every single night.
You take bets on when they might actually respond with a, oh, have a good night yourself.
In a situation like this, too, it's nice to know that there's solidarity.
Yeah.
That maybe, like, if, just for example, I'm not the only one that this person says it's to. It's apparently everybody, and it's a running joke.
Mm-hmm. Look.
Good night.
Whatever brings
people
together.
Take care. Okay.
It brings people together, right?
Yeah. That's what we need. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots. Text line 65780. Hey, you never want to see players injured or underperforming, but it may not be an awful thing for the Cardinals right now. That's next on 101 ESPN. Mic drop to 101 ESPN.
Honesty is the best policy,
yes.
I guess.
What is wrong
with this? I know, right?
Right?
What? We all have moments like that, right?
I know. Yeah. I feel bad.
Or maybe you
myself.
Start, or you have the moments where you start moving on a little too quickly. Like, he's out now. Who's
You've
up?
Already made a roster move as he's still trying to figure out if he's okay.
And as it turns out, Matt Carpenter was placed on the IL today with a foot contusion, and the Cardinals have called up Edmundo Sosa, and Tommy Edman will be the guy that plays third base and leads off tonight for the Redbirds. So do you take positives away occasionally from a player not being able to go?
Well, I think that it always depends on who ends up filling in. And there are always those stories, your Wally Pipp stories of guys getting an opportunity and then just running with it and taking it. And we're seeing a little bit right now with Tyler O'Neill getting the chance with Marcelo Ozuna being hurt that he gets a chance to go. Best case scenario for a club is you're totally healthy and you get to mix and match quality pieces. Like, that's the best case scenario. But sometimes it does take some injuries to figure out exactly what you have within the pipeline. And Tommy Edman provided a little bit of a spark when he first came on the scene. He's had some big hits off the bench, did some good things while starting. Now, the leadoff spot has not been incredibly great for Tommy Edman. It hasn't been good for anybody on this team, honestly, up to this point. But it's another opportunity for him, and I want to see him play. At least defensively, you know that he's crazy sounding and hit from both sides.
Two famous ones for the Cardinals. The most famous, of course, Bobby Bonilla's hamstring before the season started in 2001 that allowed Albert Pujols to make the team. And then both Willie McGee and Tito Landrum getting hurt in the first week of the 85 season, causing the Cardinals to bring up Vince Coleman. And Whitey said, you'll be here for 2 weeks, and then we'll send you back down to Louisville. That was the Cardinals' AAA team at the moment. And Vince said, nope, I'm not going anywhere. And he never did until he went to the Mets.
Well, it'd be great if Tommy Edman and or O'Neill or whoever is able to do something like that. But I think all we're looking for at this point, and this is it's kind of a disappointing place to be now that I think about it, but all we really need is just a little bit of something. out of those guys. I don't expect them to carry an offense, but they're going to have to contribute one way or the other, because this is clearly not going to be an offense carried by one guy, especially with Marcell Ozuna out.
Would you guys be intrigued as Marp misses at least the next 10 days by Dexter Fowler getting some time in the leadoff spot? The way he's going, I would have no problem with it.
I wouldn't have any problem with that either. I think the one thing that they worry about a little bit, maybe, or I could just be making this up, is getting him out of the good spot that he's in. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, he's in a groove right now. He's feeling it. Sometimes you don't want to mess that up. But Dexter is no stranger to the leadoff spot. The you go, we go. He's done it before. And right now, you need somebody to spark it. I could absolutely see him doing that.
If you just look at it from a from the perspective of the spot in the order, forgetting about who's taking that position, it would make a little bit of sense, because you, like you said earlier, BT, they haven't produced there at all. They've been really bad when you compare them against other teams in baseball with the leadoff position. So they could use any amount of help there. The other side of it, and the problem is, if he's comfortable right now, and for somebody who's had the struggles he's had going back to last year, I don't know how much you want to mess with that, or I don't know at what point you say, you know what, he's beyond all of that stuff. Remember when he was talking about feeling depressed because he wasn't playing well, and now he's in a good mindset? I don't know how much you want to mess with that. Maybe he's so far beyond it that it wouldn't matter, that they could put him back in a leadoff spot or put him anywhere in the order and he'll be just fine. But from the perspective of that particular spot in the order not really being productive for them, they're in a position where they might as well just try things now.
As the leadoff hitter this year, Fowler is 1-for-23. Batting average, .043. On base, .154. Slug, .043. OPS, an OPS of .197 in his 26 plate appearances at the top of the lineup. So give him an opportunity. See if he can get it straightened out.
I'll fire that. We'll figure it out. They need to get something going there. But it is, again, time for guys to step up. And that's what's happened, too. Just looking at an example now in the rotation, Daniel Ponce de Leon got himself a shot, and all he did was freaking deal. Adam Wainwright had to get pushed back to Sunday. He fills in on Friday and just shoves, and all of a sudden he's back in the rotation. So sometimes you find out what you have. And I guess right now, and it's always – I always try to, I'm going to go sunny side. I'm looking at the bright side here.
Lollipops and rainbows.
We're together. You're going to the point where you are right before the trade deadline, and you're getting an opportunity to see exactly what you have. You're seeing the depth of your 40-man roster and what you might be able to plug in, what you might be able to throw out to a trade. Maybe some of these pieces are on the big stage for other teams and say, all right, oh, man, look at that Ponce de Leon. I got to have one of those guys in a trade. You never know who's looking for what at this time.
Right. And here's a weird position the Cardinals are in overall. Can you really think of a player? Well, I mean, I'm sure there are some, but there aren't many that absolutely have to be in a certain position where you look at the lineup and go, well, he has to bat third. It's crazy if he's batting anywhere else. Or if you look at the rotation and you say, he has to be in there once he's healthy. You know, I mean, there's so much uncertainty and what if pretty much up and down the roster right now, with the exception of maybe, I don't know, Jordan Hicks. If he's healthy, he has to be the closer. Like, I mean,
right.
He just kind of has to be. With the exception of that, you've got so much that you could just play around with here. And in the process of them doing that, it's possible they end up playing really well here down the stretch in the last couple of months. But I don't – there's not a whole lot here that's set in stone with this team, and I think it's just a really interesting position for them to be in.
The Cardinals and the Pirates tonight, and Edmund will lead off and play third with Mark being placed on the 10-day IL. By the way, I just checked Brett Cecil. He has yet to start his rehab assignment.
Well, now what are we going to do?
That's another one.
Yeah. Another one, just really quick, talking about opportunities and this guy yet to be on the 40-man roster. But if he keeps playing the way that he is, it's going to be very hard to not give Randy Arozarena a shot.
A look?
He's tearing it up. And so you're looking to spark a little bit of something, and it would have to be, you would think, barring another injury or trades, it would probably have to be in the spot of Harrison Bader if he doesn't get things going. But, I mean, right now, You need everybody. You need it all going. He can go get it in the outfield, too.
And maybe he does. If they give him an opportunity, he might run with it for the last couple of months of the season. But I have as a fan, I'm having a hard time looking at this and not feeling disappointed that that's where we are. That we're just, that we're talking about so many maybes here. And I know a lot of teams are doing that, but I was kind of hoping for better from this club this year.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Hey, have you ever said something dumb? Only to have someone dig it up and use it against you later? We've got that story next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.